Thank you so much, Sarah, for that wonderful portrayal of Mary Magdalene's witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And thank you, worship team, for leading us in that wonderful time of worship. And ladies, that singing was beautiful. What an incredible day this is. I had someone come up to me in the hall and say, "Happy Easter." Happy Easter. You got it? Oh, you're a little slow? And Mary Magdalene did go and tell the disciples of what she and the other women had seen and experienced. But you know what the scripture says in Luke chapter 24? The scripture says that when the disciples heard the witness of the women, they understood it to be so much what? Nonsense. That was the response of the disciples. When they heard the witness of the women, it sounded to them like so much nonsense. And when we come to our scripture this morning, John chapter 20 and verse 19, it tells us that it was Easter Sunday evening, and the disciples were locked together behind closed doors. They were in fear of the Jews. What they experienced on Good Friday evening was just so horrific. It just so broke them down. I mean, they had placed their hopes in Jesus. He was the one who was going to bring life and peace and freedom to Israel and maybe to the world, and now he's gone. He's gone. But something happened. Something happened that turned around that group of dejected disciples and turned them into courageous witnesses of the resurrection. Because 2 months after the crucifixion, these same disciples that were locked behind closed doors, 2 months after the crucifixion, these same disciples were there in Jerusalem, the very place where Jesus was tried and crucified, the very place where people saw him laid into the grave. And the disciples proclaimed to many people who had been witnesses of the crucifixion, the disciple says, "You guys crucified Jesus, but God raised him up and made him Lord in Christ." The disciples were saying that right there where Jesus was crucified to the people who were a part of the crucifixion. And if anything that the disciples said was not true, there were scads of people there who had been witnesses, and they could step forward and say that there's evidence that that's not so. But that didn't happen. In fact, thousands of people became believers in Jesus, and they pledged their allegiance to Jesus, and they were baptized into Christ. And the power of the resurrection kept on moving through the first century and into the second century in spite of opposition and persecution, and thousands of people were martyred. But by the middle of the second century, Christianity was the dominant religion of the Roman Empire. And there's only one way you can explain that dramatic turnabout of these frightened, dejected disciples into courageous, compassionate witnesses of Jesus Christ. And that is that this Jesus, who was their master and their teacher, and they saw him beaten and tortured and nailed on a cross and laid in a tomb, this Jesus has been resurrected, and he is alive, and he is Lord of all. I heard of a church that was putting on their own version of the Passion Play. And there was one little guy who was sitting in the front row because his dad was in the play. And he'd seen the rehearsals many times, and so he knew the storyline. And it came to the part in the play where they enacted the crucifixion. And after the crucifixion, there was this great, heavy sadness that came over the audience. And this little guy in the front row could hardly stand it. And so he jumped up and he turned around and he says, "Don't be sad, people. He's coming back." And he did come back. And the Bible says he appeared to 500 people. And one of the appearances we have in our scripture this morning. Could we have the scripture reading, Jalisha? John 20, if you want to open your Bibles, and also the sermon reference sheet is there in your Bible. John 20, we're going to look at verses 19 through 22, and let's read it together. I'm going to read the main text, but where the words are in sort of brown red, I'd like us all to read them together. Those are Jesus' special words to us today on Easter Sunday morning. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, and with that, he breathed on them and said, now, in the next several moments, I'd just like to take us into this room, into this experience, and I want us to notice what Jesus did and what Jesus said. Because the way Jesus acts in this story is the way he continues to act today. And what Jesus said in this account, he says to us this morning. Now, the first thing I'd like you to notice, again, if you have your sermon reference sheet, you can see the first point I want to make, and we'll get that in just a minute. It says, while the disciples were together with the doors locked. You see it in your text, while the disciples were together with the doors locked. It says, Jesus came and stood among them. Now notice, he didn't knock. They didn't open the door. He was just there. He was just there, visibly present with them. And he showed them his hands and his side. And the reason he did that, because those were to be markers. Those were to be identifiers. They saw Jesus' hands pierced. They saw his side pierced. He was showing them the evidence that it was he. In the Gospel of Luke, he said to the disciples, touch me. Because you know that it's not a, they were thinking this could be a ghost. Because you know that a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I do. Friends, here is a very important resurrection understanding. Jesus had a body that was identifiable, right? He had a body that they could touch, they could see, and yet it was different from ours. Because he could come into a room without opening the doors. The composition of Jesus' resurrected body is in a category that is beyond our understanding at this point. Someday, I think we'll understand that. Someday, I believe we may have bodies like that. But this morning, this has great meaning for us. John Piper said this, Jesus' resurrection fits him to do what no one else can do. The resurrected Christ can go where no one else can go. He can go where your doctor cannot go. He can go where your counselor cannot go. He can reach you. He can reach into you anywhere, anytime, if you'll let him. He is alive, and he is able to do more than we can imagine. Is that right? And then the next thing I want us to notice is that they were afraid. They were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Their leader had been crucified because he represented some sort of threat. So their fear is understandable. And Jesus came into their fear. And friends, this may be the way we need the living Christ most this morning. We're all at different places. But I would guess that many of us here this morning have fear at some level. Some of us may fear that we're not going to be accepted. Some of us may fear being left alone. Some of you may be fearing that you're not doing the job, or you're wondering if you're going to be able to keep your job. Some of you may be wondering, am I measuring up? Some of us are concerned about illness or health issues, and maybe it's in our own lives or in the lives of people that we care about. Some of us are afraid, some of us fear that maybe our kids won't have faith or our grandkids won't have faith. And what Jesus did here, Jesus shows us that I come to my own when they are afraid. That's what Jesus is telling us through this action. I come to my own when they are afraid. I don't wait until they have enough faith to overcome fear. I come and give them faith to overcome fear. And many of us can testify that the living Christ still works this way. He comes to us when we cry out to Him. He comes near to us with the promise, fear not, I am with you. Don't be dismayed, I am your God. I will help you, Isaiah 41:10. And He will do this for you as you receive Him into your life for who He is. And it says in our text that He stood among them. And the point is, right in the middle of their group, right there in the middle of the aisle, right where Marv is sitting, He came and He stood right there in the midst of the disciples. He didn't come to the edge of the group. He didn't come to the outside wall and shout through the wall like some distant deity. He wanted them to see Him and know Him and love Him and believe in Him. And that's what He wants for us this morning. He doesn't only want you to have the conviction that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He wants us to know that He wants to draw near to you. He wants to draw near to you where no one else can reach you, in that place where you need Him most. He wants to help you with your fear, with my fear, the way no one else can help. He wants to come close to you, right in the middle of whatever it is you're experiencing today. He's our risen Lord. And He wants to bring us three gifts. First, He says, peace be with you. Then He showed them His hands and His side, and He said it again, peace be with you. You see, in addition to the fear that the disciples had for the Jews because of the way they had handled Jesus, in addition to that fear, they lived with the fear of their failure. I mean, all of them had forsaken Jesus when He was on the cross. All of them had forsaken Jesus when Jesus needed them the most. And they just knew that what they had done must have left Jesus feeling terribly wounded. There was reason for their relationship to be broken. They had that kind of fear too. And so He showed them His hands and His side. It's like He was saying, yeah, you guys blew it bad. But I went to the cross, and I paid for the penalty of your sin. I died your death. Everything has been done so that you can have peace in your heart, and you can have peace in relationship with Me and peace with God. Nothing you have ever done, dear friends, is beyond God's ability to cleanse and forgive and forgive, because the Christ who died is risen. You can run from your failure and into his arms and be forgiven. One of the great blessings of being a pastor for a lot of years is to be able to look back over the years and to see numbers and numbers of persons who were just experiencing a tumultuous life, and then be able to walk with them and point them to Christ and assist them in experiencing Christ and yielding their lives to Christ, and to see the transformation from tumult to peace. And he says to us this morning, "My peace I give to you." And notice his next words. "As the Father sent me, even so I send you." Jesus gives us peace, and he's also giving us purpose. He gives your life and mine a purpose that we can live into until the day we die. "As the Father sends me, so I send you." And Jesus wants us to sense that wherever we go this week, we are being sent. He is sending us. And everywhere we are sent, your life and my life is to be the evidence that God is still in the resurrection business. Let me say that again. Got to make sure you heard that one. Jesus wants you to sense that everywhere you go this week, you are being sent. And you are being sent there so that your life and my life can be part of the evidence that God is still in the resurrection business. That God is still bringing peace out of chaos and hope out of despair and joy out of sorrow. The Lord is risen. And please understand this. Jesus isn't adding anything to your already full calendar. When he is sending you out in this way, he's not adding something to your already full calendar. God is filling everything you do with meaning. He's saying every encounter, every experience, every interaction is a chance for God to make your life the tangible evidence that God is gracious and God is good and he is still in the resurrection business. And there's one more word that the Lord gives to us this morning. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit had always been in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. And now Jesus offers the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And the Holy Spirit in your life means that you don't go from here alone. God is with you. God stands by you. He is your advocate in every situation. The Holy Spirit in your life means that you have power over the sin in your life. You have power over the sin in the world. Sometimes when I look at the world and I see all of the poverty and all of the greed and all of the violence, I feel so helpless. I feel so powerless. And sometimes Christians feel that way. And we're sort of like the disciples were after the resurrection. We stay behind closed doors where it's safe and cozy. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Pastor Chris is going to teach this text next Sunday. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and the power of his presence will help you carry out your purpose." Friends, because Jesus is alive, your past is not unforgivable. Because Jesus is alive, your life is not without purpose and power. And because Jesus is alive, your future is not in doubt. Winston Churchill was probably, in my view, the greatest prime minister in Great Britain's history. He was known for his firm resolve. For a period of time before World War II, he stood almost alone against the threats of Hitler. And after the war was over, he was invited to give a commencement address at one of England's finest universities. And they said, when you boiled down his speech, it was really a three-word speech. He said, never give up, never give up, never give up. That was his speech that day. He had a running battle with a woman named Lady Astor. She was a tough opponent, but he always had a comeback for her. One day she said to Winston, Winston, if I was your wife, I'd put poison in your coffee. To which Churchill said, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. He was that kind of tough. And he stood up against all kinds of tough stuff. But he was also vulnerable. And he was mortal. And he got old. And he died. And he planned his own funeral. And after all the anthems were sung and the words were spoken and the benedictions were given, Churchill had asked for a bugler to be stationed high in the dome over St. Paul's Cathedral. And after the service was over, the bugler began to play taps. The universal sound that the day is over, the day is done, the night is come. And the people sat in silence, thinking once more of this important man whose life was now over. But they paused for just a few moments. And then another bugler was placed on the other side of the dome. And he began to play. Reveille. It's the sound of the new day. It's the good morning song. It's waking up to a new day. And why did Churchill do that? Because one time the greatest man who ever walked this earth said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Churchill placed those buglers in the dome over St. Paul's Cathedral because he wanted to demonstrate the confidence that we can have when we entrust our lives to Jesus Christ. There is purpose and power for our lives now, and there is hope forever. And you say, well, will there be trouble in my future? Will there be problems in my future? Of course there will be. And you say, well, is there a good chance that I might die? Yes, there's a very good chance that all of us will die. Is Jesus nervous about that? Not at all. Because he's already died. And he's taken on the worst that death can do. And he's alive. He conquered death. He's alive. And he reigns as Lord over all. And Jesus says to us this morning in John chapter 11, he says to us this morning, do you believe this? Do you believe this? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, in this particular verse, he's not asking us if we believe that Jesus, in fact, rose from the grave. He's asking us if we believe that he is the resurrection and the life. He's asking us if we believe that he is the living Lord and that he is present and active in the world by the Holy Spirit. And he is continuing to make things new. He continues to bring joy out of sorrow and peace out of chaos and hope out of despair. Do you believe this? Do you believe this deeply enough that you're going to put your trust in him? Do you believe it deeply enough that you will put your life in his hands? Do you believe it deeply enough that you will commit yourself to him, that you will follow him, that you will be able to say from the depths of my being, I am a follower of Jesus. That's who I am. Then Jesus says, you will live. You will really live. You will have purpose and power for your living now and hope forever. And then Easter will not just be a date on the calendar, but it will be his risen power in your soul. Do you believe this? Let's pray. And I know that on this incredible Easter Sunday morning, there are many who are saying in our hearts, yes, yes, I'm so grateful that in this uncertain time, I have a living, present Lord. But maybe some of you here this morning have never responded to Christ in this way. But in this moment, throughout this service, you've sensed the peace of his presence. And we would just say yes to him. Say, yes, Lord Jesus. I receive you. I receive you as my forgiver, as my leader, as my friend. I give you my life, Lord Jesus. If you're saying yes to Christ this morning, for the first time, or if you're saying yes to Christ after having been away from him and you're coming back, I hope you will tell someone, because this is all about a relationship with Jesus that begins now and we nurture throughout life and we can continue to grow right on into forever. I and some of the elders will be here at the front after the service, and we just love to hear your questions, your expressions of commitment, and to share times of prayer. And we just invite you to come to the front. If you would have questions or you want to express a commitment or you ask for prayer. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you that in this fallen world, in this uncertain time, we're just so thankful that we know that Jesus Christ is risen. It really happened. And that his presence in our lives gives us peace and purpose. And thank you, Lord, that because Jesus Christ is alive, we have hope. Hope for our days now, and we have hope forevermore. And we pray together in his name. Amen.